Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's rainmaker.fm/digital-commerce.
I basically am a bigger fish in a smaller pond. And when you talk about visibility, building trust, and really authority, and it's really kind of funny because I actually looked for this yesterday, but the whole idea of the difference between expert and authority really started with a PDF that Brian Clark did, and I don't remember when now. That's what I was looking for, but it was called, you know, authority or something like that, where he's first started exploring. You can be an expert, the college professor, but that doesn't mean you're an authority. You can be an authority by visibility. And I believe that's, I'm not an expert on LinkedIn, but I have authority about LinkedIn. And I was a part of this influencer program because I had authority in the insurance financial services arena. So, I mean, to me, that's, you know, a key concept.
Which is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, which is taking authority and turning it into influence.
And now, enjoy The Missing Link with Jabez LeBret and Micah Gadia.
So as we heard, there's a huge opportunity to build influence. And that is what makes me so excited about today's guest, is that this guy, I mean, we're talking influence to like the 10th level. It's like influence squared. I mean, he's got, what, 200 and some thousand followers on LinkedIn, and he's niched. Like niched inside of a niche inside of a niche. I mean, this guy is focused. And I love the idea. And I think so many of the listeners out here, you know, Micah, you and I have talked about this. Really, it's producing content. Yeah, that's great. And understanding how to set up your profiles is fantastic. But at the end of the day, man, we all want to be like, how do we get more people actually following our stuff?
Right.
And that's so huge. And so I'm so excited about today's guest. We've got Steve Anderson, who is going to be joining us today. And that's who you heard earlier. And, you know, Steve, so he's a trusted authority on insurance technology and productivity and profitability within the insurance world. And he's going to talk to us about kind of the process and the steps that he took to, you know, both break into that world. You know, he's been in there for in this industry for a long time. In the insurance profession, but he's going to also talk to us about how there's other things that go on outside of LinkedIn that lead into building more influence, which I am totally excited about.
Yeah, me too.
And he's a nice guy.
Totally. Right.
And he's been listening to the show forever. So
from the beginning, I know.
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Mr. Anderson here. So
well, and let me tell you how we got him. I don't know if you even know this, Jabez, but we reached out through our group, our super secret Missing Link LinkedIn group, and asked, you know, does anybody have a success story that they'd like to share on the show? And he literally said, you know, I'm one of the lesser known accidental influencers. So we're, you know, we said definitely we want to hear about how to create more authority and how to help our audience create more authority and, you know, become an influencer in their niche.
And I think humility plays a role. I don't know. I'm a big fan of, you know, being humble on your way to the top.
Absolutely.
And so now, Micah, there's two things we got going on today, which are exciting. Number one, we have what you alluded to, our Speakeasy LinkedIn group, which is where Steve, you know, obviously has participated in there. And a lot of the speakers do jump in there, and you and I get in there. And it is one of the groups that I feel is actually working, which is awesome. There's like a wealth of knowledge getting shared, which is incredible. But you have to, there's some steps you got to use to get in there.
Yeah. And I'd love to help you guys with that. If you're interested in becoming part of our LinkedIn group, it's you know, we only advertise here on the podcast. So if you want to join, you'll take out, if you're in the continental United States, your mobile device, and you will text us at 41411, and you will enter a keyword, my link. That's MYLINK. And you'll need to take the space out because it does try to autocorrect. And then if you're outside of the continental United States, you will simply send us an email at missinglink@rainmaker.fm, and we'll get you right in and right set up, and then you'll meet our phenomenal group members.
And, you know, it's the group is amazing, and I love LinkedIn. I'm a huge fan. But I've been checking out some of the other podcasts out there on the Rainmaker FM channels. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah, we've got some great ones. We've retired some, but the ones that are left standing are absolutely worth a listen.
What's your favorite one that you're listening to right now? outside of ours, which obviously is your favorite one.
Totally. Missing Link is my favorite. I listen to mostly Brian Clark's Unemployable, actually.
You know, Brian's got some good stuff over there, and that Unemployable one definitely has some personality.
Yeah. So, what about you?
You know, I've been listening. There's the entrepreneur. Now you got me on the spot. There was this entrepreneur one that I can't remember the name of it. And I just found it last week.
Oh, is it the digital?
It is the digital one. It was, I literally was just starting to kind of peruse around because I'm one of those bad podcast practitioners in that I don't download the podcasts on my phone.
So it's digitalcommerce.com/podcast and mention the digital, it's the digital entrepreneur. And it is phenomenal. We've got a summit coming up in October as well. So definitely check that one out.
Well, it was super relevant because we're launching an online course, you know, like an accredited course for lawyers online. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh my gosh, this is exactly the information that I need. So it was super timely, but I need to get better about actually subscribing instead of just, you know, opening up 15 tabs on my browser and clicking. Yeah.
I know nothing about that.
No, never. Anyway, so on to today's episode, yes. Building Influence. My name is Jabez LeBret, and I'm joined by the amazing and incredible Micah Gadia.
Hi, Jabez. Micah.
It's fantastic to be back. We're going to give a quick shout out to our sponsors. And then after that, we're going to jump right into the influence episode with Steve Anderson.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back to this episode of The Missing Link. My name is Jabez LeBret. Of course, I've got Micah Gadia and Steve Anderson here joining us today, which is fantastic. And Micah, we've had a chance to chat with Steve a little bit leading up to the episode. And man, this guy is interesting.
Very interesting, very cordial. And you know, Steve, I'm just going to start out and ask you, how did you get started in your profession?
I started selling insurance in the late 70s. I actually worked for my father-in-law for 13 years. So that was my entree into the insurance world. And I worked in two agencies, one in the Washington, D.C. area with my father-in-law. I actually left his agency, which is a whole different story, and moved. family. Yeah, and brother-in-law coming into the business and, you know, et cetera. Ended up moving to Dallas-Fort Worth, working in an insurance agency there. And really, through both of those experiences, almost, 23, 24 years, I got a real interest in the technology. So computer systems in the 80s, actually, and then certainly in the 90s. And that's where I really developed my technology and insurance focus. And so actually started my own consulting, speaking, writing business in 1999, and then ended up moving to a wonderful little town outside Nashville, Tennessee, which is where I currently am.
Oh, I love Nashville. Nashville's a fantastic city. Good area over there. Very pretty.
Yes, we love it here.
So now what jumped out at me most, Steve, is that there's this kind of, I think, what is almost a mystery to most LinkedIn users, which is this influencer network. Like it almost seems like magic. Like you get, like they invite you somewhere to a castle and you get knighted as like a LinkedIn influencer.
It's true.
I've been watching a little too much Game of Thrones, I guess. But I don't think that most of the listeners understand how this whole influencer network even came to be. Could you maybe kind of enlighten us a little bit
I can give you maybe some insights. I actually don't know either, but here's what happened. In August of 2012, I received an email from a gentleman named Chip Cutter, who was an editor at LinkedIn, telling me about this new program they were putting together and that they were identifying certain, you know, leaders in different industries, and they would give them this publishing platform so that this group could publish long form content articles. And that's now what people call Pulse.
Wow.
But so And what's really interesting is I almost deleted the email because I thought it had to be spam.
Right.
So LinkedIn, I mean, me, I'm this little guy out in this little insurance area. But I didn't delete it, fortunately, kept looking at it, went on LinkedIn. You know, Chip Cutter was there as an editor. And so we set up a phone call and he went, you know, into the kind of spiel, here's what we're doing. And they picked 150 people to start in that first group. I asked Chip, why me? I mean, literally, wouldn't you want to know? And all he would or could say, I don't think he was trying to hide anything. All he could say was, I've been writing in the financial, you know, industry for a long time in New York, and I've come across your stuff. And that's kind of my first point here in terms of building your influence, which is you got to show up over time. And you don't know what impact you're having, who's reading your material, who's forming an opinion about you. So I started out in October 2012 with my first post, and there were 150 of us. And of course, you know, Richard Branson and Barack Obama and right, all of these huge big names. And who am I? I mean, it really was surreal.
How you should really lead in with your website. You're like, well, there's Richard Branson. They got him, of course. And then they got Obama, you know, because he's the president, you know. And then they asked Steve Anderson, you know, if he'd join in.
Yeah, even today, I mean, the top five in terms of followers are Richard Branson, Bill Gates, Jack Welch, Deepak Chopra, and Arianna Huffington.
And then not too far down the list is
Steve Anderson. Actually, you know, I did a little, you know, I've looked at this in a long time, but I'm actually in the top quarter of now
fantastic.
750 approximately influencer in terms of followers.
Real quick, before we start jumping into what I think is an important place to go, which is kind of 2012 forward, you said something very, very important, which was you had been writing mm-hmm. already and publishing already, and then it got noticed by Chip from LinkedIn, and you know Chip reached out to you because Chip had seen your stuff out there. Could you walk us through maybe just a little bit about, you know, kind of you've done a lot of work leading up to this getting into the LinkedIn thing. And so you've said you've been speaking and you've been writing. Maybe give us a little bit of like kind of insights as to where you've been speaking, how you've been speaking,
right.
and where you've been writing and what you've been writing about.
Well, actually, it started in the mid-90s, about 1995, when I was asked to write a column in an industry publication, which had, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Wrote every other month. A column on which it was called Agency Marketing Technology. And so I was doing content marketing in 1995, what we now call. Back then it was obviously writing articles. I even had a fax on demand system. Now, I won't go into explaining that, but you can kind of Google that, and it's a funny little history. But people could actually call into a number and have articles faxed to them. This was before the internet.
So awesome.
Yeah, so funny to think about it, but
we just got rid of our fax number at the office.
Yeah,
and somebody asked if they could fax us something. We're like, nope, you can scan it and email it. Sorry.
Well, my position today is if you want to fax me something, you're really not a potential client of mine. I'm just willing to do that. But my point there is, I learned pretty quickly and early that articles were my best marketing, and so that led. Again, same type of scenario that led to people noticing me, being asked to actually write this is again history, year 2000, Y2K, right? Remember all that stuff? I actually wrote a white paper for insurance agencies on the technical issues as well as some of the insurance issues that they could possibly expect, and that was distributed to every independent agent in the United States. That led me to being asked to develop a four-hour course, course about the issues. And so I ended up in 97 and 98, probably doing 70 to 75 in-person presentations across the country.
You know, the biggest thing I want to go ahead and highlight, Jabez, if I'm going to interrupt this, Steve, you have been you have had so many doors opened for you, and you walked through them. And I just want to highlight that for our audience to see. You know, I got asked to do a publication. I was writing articles at the time, Facts on Demand. It sounds like you were listening and watching, and you were obviously doing the work. But when an opportunity opened up, you said yes, it sounds like. And I want to highlight that I think that's part of the influencing journey.
And I absolutely would agree. And it's still happening. Last night, so as part of the influencer program on LinkedIn, again, my visibility now is, I would say, bigger. And it's more international. That's one of the things that's starting to change for me. But I got an email last night from Greg McGowan. I don't know if you know him. He's the author of a book called Essentialism. He's also an influencer, and invited me to a event he's having in a couple of weeks, a one-day event.
That's amazing.
But I have ever been able to do that, again, without showing up over time. And that's one of my points, too. This is none of this is quick fix, but if you show up over time, you never know what's going to happen. And I think, Micah, maybe you're right. Maybe it is also a mindset of, well, I don't know that I know how to do that, but sure, why not? Let's try it.
Right. Being brave enough or courageous enough to actually say yes and go out on a limb.
Well, and that's being a little bit vulnerable, right? So it's saying, you know, I'm not 100% confident that this is perfect, that I'm going to, you know, hit a grand slam every time that I step up to the plate. But, you know, base hits win games. So, you know, somebody invites me to participate, I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to keep showing up.
Yeah.
And the speaking thing, I mean, that volume of speaking, it's exhausting. I mean, like, you're on the road a lot, and you're traveling a ton. You know, it's a little bit lonely. And, you know, at the end of the day, though, man, the combination of content writing and presenting live in person is one of the best ways to start to really build what you talk about as authority. And I think that there's something to be said there beyond just being an expert. So, like, how do you start to find your way into the authority side of the fence?
Show up. And literally for me, starting to see the difference between being an expert and being an authority started with a PDF kind of white paper that Brian Clark put together. And I actually looked for it yesterday. I couldn't find it, but I don't
That's
know how
awesome.
Long it,
I'll find it.
It really started that idea that, and you can be an expert, and that doesn't mean you are an authority. You can know your topic really, really well, but if you start talking about it, start writing about it, start getting your thoughts out there, getting feedback. I mean, I think that's one of the things I've learned, certainly with the influencer program, is that it's not about volume. It's about, for me at least, it's about thoughtful pieces. And so you won't see hundreds of posts of mine on the influencer platform, which is now just the Pulse platform. But what I try to do is bring a different level of thought idea. So my biggest post here over the last few months was probably early January, late December, kind of the influencer group, the editors kind of pick a topic every month for people to write about, and then they promote that. This was, they do it at the end of the year, looking forward to the next year. This was, you know, the big idea for 2016. Again, focusing on my niche, which is insurance agents, I become very intrigued with really the big umbrella of artificial intelligence and narrowing that down to machine learning and guided conversations. And, you know, and how is that going to affect insurance agents with more and more people going online looking for information? And can that process, machine learning, help them deliver expertise, but to anyone, anytime, on any platform? So I wrote about that. Here's some of the benefits. Here's some of the problems. Here's where agents could be fearful about it, but things are changing. So more in depth, a lot of research, a lot of links. So those are the types of pieces that I think help build that visibility, right? Because that got, I remember now.
It's 23,000. I'm looking at 23,600 views. You've got 85 comments and 500 likes. Yeah.
And so
not shabby on the numbers.
Yeah. And, you know, part of what I will say with the influencer program is the visibility of each post has dropped because there's just now so much content.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's posting. And But even some of the previous episodes I'd point back to where people talked about how to structure your article, your post, to get, you know, more visibility in the Pulse Network and write for niches and write all that stuff. Go back and listen to some of that because it really does work that way now.
Well, and Steve, something that I you know, Micah touched on this earlier, and I completely agree. You tend to sound like someone who listens very well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a lot of the stuff you've been saying is, oh, and then I, you know, heard this or I noticed this. And it means that you're keeping your ears open and paying attention to your marketplace and the customers that you're serving and the people who are around you and the other influencers. But the other side of the fence on the content piece is, number one, show up. So mm-hmm. you got to be doing it. And it's not necessarily volume as much as quality, but you have to be doing it regularly. And number two, you said that you looked for stuff that was moving forward and then tried to do some research and find some angles that made that interesting. And I think that's a really, really important note on what helps someone become more of an authority as opposed to an expert.
Right.
Authority folks have the ability to be able to say, here's a trend coming up next, and here's what I think about it based off of my expertise. And, you know, that's really when I read through your posts, there's a lot of that going on. A lot of, you know, here's how I manage things balanced with here's what's coming next and how to, you know, actually build that. And you couldn't have started off with 200,000 followers. Like, do you recall where you were at when you kind of started your LinkedIn journey in general, even maybe before you were... I guess there really weren't followers before.
I was going to say the followers came with the influencer group. So I started at zero along with everybody else. And a couple of things along
that.
The way.
I think that's fantastic. You started at zero just like everybody else.
I was thrilled at 50. I was amazed at 100.
Right.
And
right.
Now I'm over 200. And so
that's
and there were certain things
for those that are
200,000 followers. Yes. And there were certain certainly some things along the way. You know, those early days, a lot of promotion of all the influencers, so that helped, and following was brand new, so people would follow. When the new mobile app came out, I don't know, that was fairly recently, mm-hmm. Nice, actually, rework on the mobile app. They reached out to the influencers, LinkedIn reached out to the influencers, you know, I don't know, month or two prior to the actual official release, and said, we're promoting influencers on the mobile app. But here's what you need to do. You need to be, you know, present, meaning you need to have at least, I think it was two status updates a week, not two articles. And by the way, that's another point of mine. I usually post two status updates a day on LinkedIn, Monday through Saturday. I don't post.
Oh, wow. That's great information.
That's not too hard. That's good insights right there. That's an easy win.
Almost what I found is the combination of the two, but the status updates, I don't want to say are more important, but they certainly are part of the mix. So it's not just the articles. Those absolutely need to be there, but it's the showing up every day piece of it. And some of that for me is reposting. So I may have an article that's, you know, months old, and I'll come back around and say, and maybe take a little angle, different angle, or, you know, write something different. But it's also reusing or putting in front of the audience your content, because you know what? Everybody's busy. They probably missed it the first time around.
Micah, I think we have another 30-day challenge here.
I'm thinking we do, and I'm looking through his stuff, and he actually comments on different articles, it looks like, that Steve, you're interested in or whatnot, and provide a comment about it with your share.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say more often than not, I'll try and put a quick little something. This is interesting. This is, you know, how is this going to affect agents? How are you interacting with your clients? So I'm trying
to prompt around the article.
Put some context around why I think the article should be of interest to somebody else.
So yeah, which is a fantastic like method for helping your audience get insights into information that's important. That's not always just your information.
Right.
Oh no. Yeah, not at all. In fact, I was going to say one of the things that people have come to look to me for is to be the curator.
Oh, there you go. So what's your challenge, Jabez? What do you think the challenge needs to be?
I think that, so we did the 30 days, reach out to two or three people every single day and say hello, just check in and see how they're doing. And I think now this 30 day challenge is post two status updates every day.
I love it.
For 30 days.
Yep.
And let's see what's happened. I'm gonna do it too.
So I'm going to do it too.
We'll all jump in and we'll do this together. And then we'll circle back in a month and we'll talk about, you know, what this means for, you know, for our influence and whatnot. And what I love, because I think some people are listening and going, I thought you were going to give me the insights into how to become an influencer. I want the influencer badge. I want to be considered an influencer. How do I become an influencer? I didn't hear on here how to become an influencer. If you didn't hear it, you missed it.
There's a reason for that, is you can't become an influencer.
Right. It's invite only.
I've actually had friends of mine who have a presence much, much, much bigger than mine, and they're, you know, writing website, blog, all kinds of stuff, who have contacted me and said, how can I get into this program? And you can't. There is no application. There used to be. Very early, there was a page you could go to. Not anymore. That's the secret sauce that I have no clue how they continue to pick.
Well, you may not have even noticed, but I think you actually gave us the answer and you may not have even been aware of it. Is number one, you have to be niched because they want to see experts in specific things, and you have to be considered an authority, which requires you to show up. And that means writing a lot. That means writing off of LinkedIn. That means producing high quality content. You got to have you got to be participating on LinkedIn. They want to see people who are actually active. Sure. Richard Branson. Yeah, he's going to get in because he's Richard Branson. The rest of us here aren't Richard Branson, but that doesn't mean that we can't take steps to actively move ourselves in those directions. And if I were you, I would start to become connections with other people at LinkedIn. I mean, wouldn't hurt to get them on your radar.
Yeah, and I don't think we have to call it being an influencer. You can call it being an authority. You can call it whatever you want to,
You don't need the badge to be an influencer.
Right.
Right. Exactly, Micah. So I have one final question that I ask every person at the end of the episode. So, Steve, if you were talking to an advanced LinkedIn user, someone who's really, really good at using LinkedIn, what one piece of advice or insights would you give them?
Can I give them two?
Sure.
Yeah.
One is basic, but as you get more advanced, go back to your summary. And I've worked a lot on my summary, and it tells a story. It doesn't give information. It does, but it gives it in a story. It tells more about who I am. And I won't go into it. You can read it if you want. I continue to tweak that, but I think that's helped me. The second is use all the tools on LinkedIn. SlideShare, Lynda, I haven't explored yet, but SlideShare, what used to be called Newsly. So great way to keep in touch with where your connections are showing up. So you can make comments back through I actually tend to use the mobile app more because it's easier for me, take a few minutes, respond to a few people. And as corny as it sounds, when people's birthday come up, give them a shout out.
A shout out on their birthday.
Yeah.
I do. I just had a birthday.
I agree.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Thank you. But it just makes you feel good that, you know, it doesn't have to be anything great. Or if they show up on an article somewhere, just pop them a quick, hey, I saw you here. Congratulations. So those little things build over time. So it's not just I go and read articles and get good information. If you really want to use it, which I think you should, and this is what I talk to insurance salespeople about, is again, it's building relationships. And how do you do that? You connect and you interact with people.
And what I love about that advanced tip is step back, reevaluate all of the tool options, because LinkedIn is constantly growing and changing in the acquisition of Lynda last year and all sorts of different things that you can do within the platform. Sometimes it's important to step back and take a catalog of all of those options. So if you're an advanced user and you use LinkedIn a lot, then step back, take a look at all of your options and go refresh the things you haven't touched in a while.
And look at the changes.
Yeah, changes, your SlideShare, adding some of the new things.
Right.
We're all in the same boat. So,
yes,
Steve, thank you so much for joining us today. I know we went a little bit over, but man, that was awesome.
Yep. Thank you, Steve.
Just super, super powerful. And we really appreciate you taking the time. And Micah, as always, it's been a pleasure. And thank you to the audience for sticking with us and listening here today on another exciting episode. And we look forward to seeing you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Missing Link. Tune in next week as we continue the discussion to improve your marketing on LinkedIn.